Say that again.
I was thinking, I didn't think actually about something particular, because the the situations are quite different, and as you mentioned while you were there in April, that there are some, you know, the situations are different and just the principles are the same.
Mm.
So basically what I need is just some, you know, clarification and instructions regarding the principles, because otherwise, you know, the people, there are, I'm trying to stress on the team building.
On
the team building.
Mm-hmm.
And when the appropriate people are there, good people, qualified people, then I believe that they will figure out how to do what is required. But for me, the main thing is to know what to do and to know how to do it, in the sense of the, you know, the attitude, the like that.
I think team building is something that you know what to do, but the question I guess is, we start. Do you need to do team building to find out who of the team is actually interested in developing Varnashram, or do you first qualify your team and get a team who's already interested in the principles and the parameters of Varnashram, in which case you need to be clear about the principles of, you've got to figure them out. You've got to say this is what we want, and then okay, you're the team who wants this. Everyone buys into it, so now you figure out how to do it.
Yeah, something of the sort. Because there are already people who are interested and who are doing a lot. And my original idea was to unite them and to make some common vision, which is shared. Vision that is shared by everyone, and you know, that people have this, you know, desire and power to go together. This is what I believe, that if we do it together, then we can do something good.
Well, my experience with Russia, although it is limited, and I haven't, you know, I've spoken to everyone, and I've just spoken to some people, is that many devotees have a very different vision.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not necessarily going to unite them, because ultimately you got to have a shared vision.
Mm-hmm.
If you're going to go in one direction.
Yeah.
And that's why I say my point is that, all right, but what's the goal? And I did that in the beginning, as much as I understood then, 30 years ago, and since then we've really developed that, as that this is what the goal is, and now devotees, they have a team, but they work on how to actually realize that goal.
The goal is the shared vision, or what is it?
I don't think it's a shared. Well, the goal has to be shared,
mm-hmm.
but the goal is what did Prabhupada want?
Yeah.
At least that's the only goal I'm interested in. I'm not interested in anything else. I wouldn't put my time or energy into anything else, because it will fail.
Yeah,
so,
sure.
So So what did Prabhupada want, and then doing what Prabhupada wanted. So that's I would just because I don't believe that a large group of people are going to actually get together and work out and come out with Prabhupada's vision, I would have a very objective and clear-thinking smaller group who work out, this is what we're doing here, this is what we want to do, and then when you got that, then you invite people and see who wants to buy into this vision. Mm-hmm. Because this is what we understand Prabhupada wanted, and if someone's got, you know, something that they think they can improve on that, well, let's hear it and see. And then ultimately, that's what your national council buys into, that this is the Russian Yatra's vision on Varnashram community development and sustainability. And then if other devotees want to do something else, that's their own business.
Yeah.
But it's not what ISKCON's doing. Mm-hmm. So what is ISKCON doing? Because one thing is devotees and the other thing is ISKCON.
This is what I want to do. This is why I'm trying to. One of the audiences I'm working with is the National Council Board.
Mm.
I'm trying to discuss it with them first of all.
Yeah, and then you need to put it on paper. It has to be, you know, it doesn't have to be a big thing.
Yeah, sure.
2-3 constitutions aren't very big.
Mm-hmm.
2-3 pages.
Mm-hmm.
But the real essential principles need to be there. Prabhupada, 16 rounds, regulative principles, morning program, and, you know, what are the priorities of things, how are they going to develop. And then when you got that, the National Council approves that, then you invite, like we had those devotees there, and you say, or you send it out to them, and read it, and get feedback, and let them give further feedback to the National Council. National Council has some more meetings, or some of them want to come to some kind of assembly where there's the National Council and them, and interacting, to help facilitate teamwork and see how many people get on board. But ultimately, it's very clear. This is, if you want to be ISKCON, this is ISKCON. And if you want to do something else, that's you. That won't be popular. But unless if just, you know, anyone does anything that they want just because they happen to believe in Krishna, they become ISKCON.
Yeah, we have discussed this.
Yeah, and that's Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj's complaint also, is that ultimately all of these, unless you can say, this is ISKCON and we take responsibility for this, when other people start doing some weird things, you won't be able to say, no, they're not ISKCON, because in the press and legally, at least that's the way it's going to look. So you've got to be able to say, no, that's not us, and this is our evidence, and we have this in writing. They happen to be believers, but it's not our society.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is something we have already discussed in the National Council, that whatever initiative is approved by our committee, that may be considered as ISKCON. And for that we have to develop this constitution that you mentioned.
Yes.
And everyone who signs, who takes that, then that's the is compounded. But we have to develop all the standards and the well, everything should be there. That's what we're working on. Yeah.
Yeah. Very good. And then you have to. I guess if that's what you're going to do, you're going to be someone who's actually overseeing that what people signed into is what continues to happen over the years.
Yeah, sure.
And, you know, my Russian experience is that the priority is not cows.
Yeah, of course. I agree, Marcia.
The priority is the people, and especially the children. In other words, who's going to take care of the cows after you? Who's going to continue the project? Is it actually self-perpetuating? Is there succession? And the succession isn't pulling more people in off the streets, but succession is our own children.
This is the problem that I saw in Israel. I went there to study this kibbutz experience.
Mm-hmm.
For 1 week, we went there and we went to the main kibbutz. And,
interesting.
And we talked to the elderly people there, some ladies who were 90 years old, and we interviewed them why they got entangled with all this and what happened. And this is the major problem that I saw, that there was no succession, basically.
Yeah, all the young kids aren't. I've heard that also, the kibbutz.
Yeah. And on the other hand, I've seen a lot of devotees who are started from cows. And, you know, one devotee has 70 cows, another one has 50 cows, 20 cows, like that. And then you have so many cows and you have few people. Nobody to take care of the cows. And then they start just begging, basically. Either for money or for people, which is not good.
It's sinful. Yeah. They'll get just the opposite that they're trying to do. They have a, you know, good sentiment.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good example of you try to do the right thing, you do it the wrong way, you get just the opposite result. You're ending up neglecting cows instead of taking care of them because you're doing it the wrong way. 70 cows, yeah, I mean, it's mind-boggling. You know, we've got 50, and I don't know, we've got 8-9 devotees, and that's not enough. It's not enough.
Yeah, sure.
You're especially gonna engage the bulls. What to speak of, you know, you got 70 cows, I mean, somewhere down the road you're going to have another 70 bulls as well. And you're going to have another 70 more cows, and it's... So, yeah. And that will be... It'll end up in bad PR, it'll end up people abandoning the animals. We have history of that, so it's not...
Mm-hmm.
You know, France had 250 cows at one point. They ended up in a slaughterhouse.
Tivo Pati, they have 500 now, as far as I know. And Gopal Krishna Maharaj, I heard that he bought a farm of 2,500 cows.
Where, in India?
Yeah.
Well, unfortunately in India they got different standards. But you have to ask the Minister for Cow Protection whether they actually approve of that kind of thing. They're quite critical. Even in Mayapur, cow protection was chaotic and bedevil. So, anyway, but The real thing is having a nice, having it very clear. What did, you know, Prabhupada say? Mm-hmm. Community means feed yourself, educate your children, take care of cows, shelter yourself, but do it together. If you had all these people who are doing all these little things here and there, mm-hmm. if you actually just had one, you'd have one big massive project in Russia with hundreds and hundreds of people. You have children, you need teachers, you need school, you need buildings, you need education, and you need to do many, many things in order that they see that they've got a future according to their nature. Then they need to see more than just that, okay, my only future is to take care of cows. Mm-hmm. Well, they need to be able to be pujaris, they need to be able to, you know, or cut wood, or build buildings, or work in the office, or do accounting, or there's got to be a future for the children. And it can't just one thing. That's pretty, it's asking a lot. It'll be an exceptional child who just takes whatever. That's why even modern farmers, you know, what have they got to offer to their children? Carry on the farm. They don't do it, they just leave. So you need a variety for succession, you need a variety because the children are going to be of a variety.
How do you think Maharaj, these Amishes are dealing with this succession?
They've got a real good tradition. They do a lot of things. They're farmers, but they got all kinds of other things. You know, they do carpentry. They build. Of course, they build their own buildings and everything. There's this video of how they build this huge big barn all together, the community, in 3 days. And I've never been to an Amish community. Devamitamara, she's always raving about them. But they're very tight, they're very effective, and they've got a good momentum, they've got a tradition. Mm-hmm. And in terms of being conservative, they're a lot more conservative than we are. Mm-hmm. In terms of dress and, you know, our women, and especially the women, but the men, you know, they dress mm-hmm. nicely. There, they, you know, they look like pots and pans.
They have only two sets of clothes, each one.
And they got, you know, 98% retention of the kids. That's phenomenal.
98%?
Something like that, 95, 98, something.
I want to go to see it. Do you know of any particular communes that are
visited? Look, the Amish is already the offshoot of what started in Germany and Switzerland. So they got them here in Europe. They must have, and they probably got them in Russia as well.
No, Russia don't have those.
No? They have them here, and they have their own language.
Really?
Yeah, in America, they speak their own language. It's sort of a old germ mixed with a Germany type of language, and that's what they speak. I only know of the American Amish, but they all learn this language and they talk that language. It's it works. Whatever they do, they work, and yeah, there's. That's very good that you're doing like that. Visit kibbutz, visit Amish. Mm-hmm. It's a shame I can't see Radha Krishna. I mean, he is vice chairman of the ECHO Eco-Villages, International Eco-Village Initiative.
Yeah, I met him now in Vrindavan. He was there.
Radhakrishna?
Yeah.
And, but they're all, you know, they're all amazed about, I mean, they had a conference here, they're all amazed about what we do. Because they don't have the social aspect together. Some of them got fantastic self-sufficiency and so on, but no one's really got the economic side down, the social side down. Some of them, you know, just like the his sister visited one, they just live in portable homes, caravans, and just hippies. But the thing about what makes the Mormons Amish successful is religion. Again, unless you're religious, unless there's a strong religious core, then you don't have you won't have the proper social foundation, because you can see, I mean, here in Hungary there's a society, in Russia there's a society, America there's a society, but it always changes because it's relative. There's nothing to anchor it down. So what really anchors it down is absolute values, and that's something that we've had, you know, different professors, but especially one, I don't know if he's a professor or a dean, university, and he is here, and he is saying that, because they send their students here for studying, where he says that ultimately, you know, we have something that they can't replicate in a secular school, and that is that we got God in the middle, and that's what makes things work. And that is the formula, and it was the formula. You know, there's a little village over here of 800 people, and there's three churches, and it's the same here, and it's the same in Russia, and it's the same everywhere in the world, is that communities were based around religious values. So that's why Krishna consciousness needs to come first. If Krishna consciousness is there, and if it's strong, and if it's enforced, that'll work. That has to be the core. In the core.